you seek from God? Are you praying for something that just hasn't happened? Something that God's not yet chosen to give? What do you do when you don't get that thing just when you want it? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim begins a new sermon from the book of Luke. As we listen to this message, let us seek to examine our hearts and repent of the selfishness that pits us against the will or the timing of God. Here is Pastor Jim.
Luke 1, beginning in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of the incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Oh, Father. Lord, what a beautiful story of your answered prayer. What a beautiful story of the importance of us to trust in you. What a beautiful beginning, Lord, to the one who would prepare the way for our Lord. Father, today as we study in this text, we ask that you would give us insight and understanding, that from you, Lord, our hearts would be joyful, because your Holy Spirit is revealing you. I ask, Father, that even in the fact that I am such a great sinner among sinners, your mercy has washed me clean. And I do ask that you use me to speak to these, your people, in your church, by your word, through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. So we went through last week, verses 5, 6, and 7, and kind of got to know Zechariah and Elizabeth just a little bit. So today we pick up with verse 8. Now, Zechariah's division of priest was on duty. This duty for his division was a 2-week duty. There would have been a lot of priests in this division. And they were serving in the temple. Now, as they were serving, there is a lot that is cast for who will go in and light the incense, burn the incense. Now this lot and the understanding of this lot is not that they're gambling on who would get it, but that God would make it fall on the one that God wanted to enter the temple on that day. Now, briefly here, just a little bit of makeup of the temple. Everybody here is familiar with the Holy of Holies, right? The Holy of Holies is where what was kept? The Ark of the Covenant is kept there. And the Holy of Holies, how often did a human being go into the Holy of Holies? One time a year on the Day of Atonement. And who was that person that went in? The high priest, right? So once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. And we've talked about this before. When the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, they had bells on him and a rope tied around his ankle. The bells were so that they could hear him moving around inside of the Holy of Holies. Because if he did something that God didn't like, they feared that God would strike him dead. And that's where the rope came in. When the bells stopped and the rope wasn't moving anymore, they would drag the body out of the high priest. So that's what the rope was for. That's the Holy of Holies. That's not where the incense is. Just outside of the Holy of Holies is another room, another place called the Holy Place. It's not the Holy of Holies, it's the Holy Place. And this place, just outside of the Holy of Holies, is where the priests would go in, and there would be the altar, there would be the incense, and these things. And so, by lot, they would go in. Now, I've talked before about how my adopted dad, he was a strict father. If I was going to say something or do something that was wrong, I wasn't going to do it in the room with him, or even the next room that he was in, because that would cause me trouble. If I was going to say or do something wrong intentionally, I got as far away from where he was as I could get to do it. You might say, I had the fear of Dad. Happy Father's Day. And I did. I had the fear of my dad. I would do just about anything if I did something wrong for him not to hear about it. Think about the fear that the chief priest, the high priest, had when he would go into the Holy of Holies. These other priests going into the room next had the same fear. When they went into the holy place to light the incense, it was pretty much get your job done and get out. Because they did not want to do something while they were in there, and that includes think something that might offend God, that would cause him to strike them down. And yet, it was a great privilege to be chosen. Most priests never got to go into the holy place. They did not get to go there. So, the lot falling on Zechariah was a great privilege and honor, but it was a fearful thing. And so, as the lot falls on him, he goes in to burn the incense. While he is in there, Gabriel shows up. Have you ever had somebody startle you? You weren't expecting somebody to be there, and you jump. I can think of many instances when that has happened to me. Cynthia learned early on in our marriage not to do that intentionally to me, because I usually came up swinging. And so if she is going to try to scare me, she did it from a distance. But we've all had that happen to us, haven't we? I think of the story of the man who was closing down the gym. His basketball team was done. He had grown up here. He had gone to school here. He was going to turn the water off because it was winter time, and Cynthia was cleaning, and she came around the corner and scared him to death. He said, I've always been kind of spooked by this building, but when Cynthia came around the corner, it scared him. We've experienced this. Now imagine you're in a place where you're being so careful, where you know there's nobody else coming in. There isn't. They're not coming in, and all of a sudden there's someone there. Would you be startled? Would you be fearful? Especially when you know he didn't come in the same way you came in. That's what happened there. And so he's startled. It says in verse 11, "And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him." This word, troubled, the original word can be translated in a lot of ways. One of those ways would be startled, stirred up, afraid, shocked. These are the things that word could be translated to. It scared him. And to use our vernacular, it scared him to death. How many times have you been scared to death? And you're still here? Oh. We've all been scared to death, and that's happened to us. And so the angel appears. It scares him. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." I don't know about you, but I don't know that that's going to make me any easier yet. It is such a strange situation. An unusual situation is what I mean by strange. How often did angels appear to people and talk to them? Not very often, did they? And typically, if there was a message in the scripture, it was Gabriel. Gabriel was the man, the angel, who brought God's messages. We see that in Daniel. In fact, Daniel 8 and Daniel 9, we're going to see Gabriel appear. We see that in the announcement of Jesus' birth, as well as the announcement here of John the Baptist's birth. There's only two angels in all of Scripture that are named. One is Gabriel. Remember the other one? It's not Ralph. Michael. Yeah, Michael. Michael is the other angel. So those are the only two that are even named in Scripture. And angels always do one thing. One thing. That's all they do. And that one thing is what God commands them to do. Period. They do not come into a situation and say, "Well, you know what? I think we ought to angle the chairs." They don't do that. If God says angle the chairs, they go angle the chairs. Otherwise, it's not changed. But we come into a situation and we assess things and we make decisions. I've heard people that are praying to angels. Folks, that is pagan. To pray to angels is pagan. That is not Christian. We pray to God, God sends the angels. The angels will not hear and listen to your voice. Several years ago, a lady named Sigrun, some of you know Sigrun, she took me to a German lady's house because she was concerned. This lady believed in angels, so much so that there wasn't hardly a space you could look. There's no place you could close your eyes and open them and not see an angel in her house. She had angels everywhere. And Sigrun was concerned and wanted her to know the truth. And so we went out and we visited with her. People have a lot of wrong ideas about angels. We could spend the rest of today's message on that, but we're not going to. But I want you to get your thinking matched up with Scripture. Match Scripture to what you think about angels. In fact, match Scripture with what you think about anything. So Gabriel was there with a message from God. With a message from God, he knew what he was there to do. So Gabriel comes. He tells him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John." We've all said that we've been startled before. After someone startles you and they start into conversation, do you always hear the first thing they say? You're still trying to come back from the startle, right? You're trying to get your mind back where it belongs because it's been taken someplace else by being startled. But the angel Gabriel starts right in with a message. You know, sometimes I'm talking to somebody and they'll say something. And I'll say, "What'd you say?" And before they repeat it, my brain finally processes it. And, "Oh, I know what they said now. Now they're repeating it." In my mind, I picture Zechariah kind of doing this, kind of having to process what Gabriel's saying. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." "What'd you say?" Part of the reason he says, "What'd you say?" in his mind is because He's an old man. He goes on to say that. He said, I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. That's a nice way of saying she's an old lady. We're past the age of having children. Now remember last week when we were looking at the two of them, we talked about how they had surely prayed for years for a child. But then the time that a woman would normally have a child came and went, and there was no child. And so they did like what we do too often. Well, God can't do that. God isn't going to do that. He can't, he won't, whatever. Of course, we don't say he won't. We say he can do anything, he just doesn't want this. That's what we say. But what we really mean is he can't do it. I'm too old for that. That's how this comes out. And that's how it plays out in our lives. We forget that God can do anything God wants to with anyone he wants to. There are so many things that we look around us and we can see where God moved in a place where it looked impossible for God to move. You know, I use this all the time, but this church still going is nothing short of the hand of God. Period. You know, for a church this size to continue to stay open and to serve God in the ministries, it usually would have to have some people of lots of means, lots of money. I'm not saying that everybody here is a pauper, but we aren't high society. We aren't. We're just average people. And I would say that the incomes of those in this church range from low average to high average. And yet, in that, God has been faithful to bring us along. In your lives, you've seen things happen. You have seen things happen that shouldn't have. People said, this can't happen. And it did. It did. Why? Because God can do anything. But yet we forget that so often. Where is our faith, brothers and sisters? Where is our faith? Why is it that we forget what God can do? Or do we just think that God won't want to, so we have to? You know, if God doesn't want something, why do we? I'll tell you why. I knew you thought I would, right? Because we are sinful and want our own way. We want our own way, whether God wants it or not. It's amazing how many people I have met angry with God because they didn't get something they wanted. Instead of saying God's will be done, they're angry because they wanted this so bad. That's the kind of praying I believe that Zechariah and Elizabeth had done and then gave up. We're too old. Who ever heard of someone having a child at this age? Well, we talked about that last week. The scriptures are full of them, aren't they? So he announces that you'll call his name John, and then he says, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Why? Gabriel tells him why. For he will be great before the Lord. He will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him. Who's him that he's going to go before? It's Jesus, right? He's going to go before Jesus to prepare the way. So verse 17 again. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. You know, John, and we'll see that here in the weeks and months to come as we see his ministry, but John was such a different character. Remember his diet? You learned that in Sunday school, right? John's diet was bugs. That was part of what he ate. That's how he survived. That's how he grew. And his tailor made suits of camel's hair, right? So he was a strange character. This was not the way people looked, dressed, and ate in his time. It was different. But yet, when we get there, the scripture is going to tell us that all the people, not meaning every last person, meaning all that God called out, but a large number of people, came to the river where he was baptizing, including those religious leaders. They came to where he was baptizing because he had the power like Elijah. And when John spoke, people paid attention to it. Even kings, right? It might have cost him his head because the queen didn't like it. But even kings listened to him. What was John's message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Friends, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is closer than it has ever been. Just as a side note, young man this week visited with me about the fact that Christ has called him to be saved. And he told me that he was reading in Joshua 24. And so I put that in as our call to worship verse. And then when I was folding the bulletins for the first time, I looked at the front, and there it was again on the front of the bulletins. I was like, I think that's an important verse, don't you? Choose ye this day. You see, John the Baptist was one that people listened to. And he was telling them, he was calling them out in the name of God. Calling them to repent. Because the people in John the Baptist's days, Jesus' days, they were just like you and I. They were sinful and full of themselves. And he was calling them out. When he called people out, those that God softened the hearts to heard the call. But there were others whose hearts were hardened to it, and they rejected it. But that's who John the Baptist, that's who John is going to become. And this power of Elijah will be on him. And he will be turning the children of Israel back to God. But they're just as fickle as we are. And it doesn't last long. You know, I remember after 9-1-1, the churches filled up across this country. And they filled up right here in northeast Kansas. You turn on the news on TV, and there was all sorts of things on even CNN about God. And then pretty soon, the fear of the situation wore off. The churches slowly started going back to their numbers. And they kind of like that Johnny Cash song. They started picking up a little bit of steam, And pretty soon they were back down to where they began, if not lower. Pretty soon we were back to, you can't say that about God on TV. You can't praise God on news. We were back to that pretty fast. Because that's how we remember. We forget. They forgot that John was there to call out the ones in truth. And brothers and sisters, today there are those who are being called out in truth. And there are those who hear it and reject it because their heart has not been regenerated. They do not know Christ. And there's nothing they can do to receive it until Christ has moved on them. And when he does, it brings great joy. And the rejoicing that comes in the birth of John the Baptist that Gabriel is talking about is also the rejoicing not only of them having a child, one who was barren, but also it is in the fact that the people would be turned to God by his service, by his preparing the way for him, it says in verse 17. Him, Jesus Christ, preparing the way for the Lord, making ready a people prepared for the Lord. Think about who first followed Jesus Christ. Who were his first disciples? It was John and Andrew, right? And John and Andrew first followed him because he had come to where John was baptizing. When I say John, I'm talking about John, the brother of James, just to make sure I'm not getting confused with John the Baptist. But he had come to where John was baptizing, and John recognized that he was the one. And these two men who had been prepared by the Lord through John followed after him. And then pretty soon those two went and got their brothers and then it began to expand. A people prepared. Well, brothers and sisters, that's what I hope and pray God uses the sermons that come from this church to do, is to prepare you for the Lord. Not only to come to Him, but to follow Him. Now, Zechariah was a priest. And not only was he a priest, he was one that we look back at the beginning of this with verse 6, who walked blamelessly in the commandments and statutes of the Lord in verse 6. So we look back at him and we see this is who he is. Do you understand that as we grow and mature in Christ, the responsibility and expectation on us grows? Are you aware of that? I mean, Paul tells us about those who aspire to be a teacher. He says you better be careful, right? Because you're going to fall under what? A greater judgment. There's a greater responsibility. And as a priest who is advanced in age, who is an old man, there's an expectation of a certain amount of understanding of who God is.
May that understanding be present in us. The way of the Lord is always being prepared by those who follow after Him faithfully, by those who seek His face, by those who want to please the Father. Beloved, is this you? Are you one who seeks God in truth, or instead do you seek to honor the God of your own imagination, worshiping that which you neither know nor understand? If you would honor God, you must first learn to listen to His voice. You must first learn to know what He says and what He commands. Instead of praying for all that you think you should have, spend your time praying that God's voice and will be revealed to you, so that you might obey Him. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we would like to send if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. This is the last week of 2021. Doesn't even seem possible, does it? It has just flown by so fast. But as we go into 2022, let's make a New Year's resolution that will make a difference in our lives. Let's make a resolution to read through the Bible during the course of the 2022 year. There's a lot of different guides out there that are available. It doesn't matter which one you pick. Just be able to read through the entire Bible in this one year. In doing so, you'll grow in your understanding, you'll grow in your knowledge, you'll grow in your ability to worship and to glorify God. And you'll also find that it does many other things to ease your heart and your soul and your mind. So let's make 2022 a year that we turn to God as we see all the chaos around us, all the things that seem so out of place and so foreign to us. In America, there's one thing that we can control, and that's our time in the Word. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.